So we have Ileana Schutzmann, and is going to talk about the Fontana-Reggio model, and it's, I guess, a bit.
The Fontana-Reggio model is a model for 3 plus 0 dimensional quantum gravity with zero cosmological constant. And in its formulation with observables defined in terms of group variables, there's been some question as to the regularizability of the observables. So the aim of this talk is to present two results. The first is a cohomological criterion for the well definition of an observable. And the second is a formula in terms of Rademeister torsion for well-defined observables. And this is joint work I've done with my supervisor, John Barrett. And I was hoping to be able to refer you to our paper with an archive address here, but we're running a bit behind time. It should be out in the next few weeks. So I'll begin with a definition of the observables. Then I'll give some examples, both of well-defined and ill-defined observables. Then, after a brief definition of twisted cohomology, we'll have the results. So that's the cohomological criterion for the well definition of an observable and the formula in terms of Rademeister torsion for well-defined observables. And we'll finish with some examples. So the data we need to specify an observable are a three-manifold M, which is closed and orientable, a connected graph gamma embedded in the manifold, and a set of angles between 0 and pi, one for each edge of the graph. Then, to define the observable, we choose a triangulation of the manifold containing the graph, so each edge of the graph is also an edge of the triangulation, and we assign a group variable, an element of SU2, to each edge in the dual of the triangulation. Then, to regularize the observable, we choose a set of trees in the triangulation minus the graph, which do not meet each other, and each of which meets the graph at exactly one vertex. Also, together they should be maximal, that is, they should visit every vertex of the triangulation minus the graph exactly once. Then, with those ingredients, the definition of the observable is given by this formula. So we integrate over all group variables, a product over the edges of the graph of delta functions, forcing the holonomy around each edge to lie in the theta conjugacy class, and a product over the edges of the triangulation minus the graph minus the trees of delta functions forcing the holonomy around each edge to be the identity. And here, without the regularizing trees, we'd have too many delta functions. So that's the definition. Now let's have some examples. Here are some planar graphs in S3. And to explain the notation, I've numbered the regions of the graph, and then edge 1, 2, for example, would be the edge at which region 1 meets region 2. And notice that in general you get a distribution in the thetas rather than a function. Then, of course, there's the tetrahedron graph, which was calculated by Friedel and Loapre. And the point to mention about this result is that it can be infinite. So the four group variables, the four elements of SU2 associated to the dual edges which pierce the regions of the graph, they define four unit vectors in R4. And those together with the origin define a four simplex. And this factor in the denominator is proportional to the volume of that four simplex. So if I choose the thetas such that the four simplex is degenerate, then the volume will be zero, and this whole thing will blow up. But we'll see later that this has a distributional interpretation. The next most complicated kind of observable is a knot in S3. We're going to look at the trefoil knot, and this is the first example we'll see of a graph where the observable can be ill-defined. So when calculating any knot, it's always possible to make a change of integration variables to the holonomies around the arcs of the knot. And if you do that for the trefoil knot, you end up with this expression. So the delta functions are just saying that GH and K define a representation of pi 1 of the knot exterior in SU2. And that's because the expressions inside the delta functions are just the relations for pi 1 of the knot exterior in the Wirtinger presentation, and that's the presentation with loops around arcs as generators. So those relations have two branches of solutions, The integral splits into two parts, one for each branch. The first branch, the abelian branch, where g equals h equals k, has a symmetry orbit of dimension 2. So you'd expect on integrating out the delta functions to be left with 2 degrees of freedom. And you are. You start with 8, because h and k lie in SU2, and g lies in the theta conjugacy class. And then the delta functions kill off 6 degrees of freedom. So that's fine, you can do that integral, and in fact you end up with sine squared theta over the Alexander polynomial of the knot squared. But for theta greater than pi by 6, there's a second non-abelian branch of solutions with a symmetry orbit of dimension 3. So it must be that the delta functions are only killing off 5 degrees of freedom, but we have 6 of them, and so we must have a delta function squared. And so for theta greater than pi by 6, the integral doesn't make sense and the observable is ill-defined. And it's a similar story for the figure 8 knot, except with a different critical angle. So now I need to tell you some theory before I can present the results, which are going to explain and generalize what we saw for planar graphs and the trefoil and figure 8 knots. So I'm going to need to refer to the row-twisted cohomology groups of a cell complex W. I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with that, so I'm going to give a brief definition. The extra ingredient which makes the cohomology twisted is this representation rho of pi 1 of w in SU2. So I need to define a co-chain complex C star rho of w, and then its homology groups will be the rho-twisted cohomology groups of w. And I'll illustrate what I'm saying with this very simple example of the circle. So I've got a cell complex w, in this case a 0 cell and a 1 cell, and a representation rho of pi 1 of w in SU2. There's an action of pi 1 on the universal cover. So here's my universal cover, a tower of copies of w. And for the circle, pi 1 has just a single generator, which I've called L. And its action on V naught in the universal cover is to take it up to V1, one floor up the tower. And its action on E naught is to take it to E1, and so on. There's also an action of pi 1 on the Lie algebra via rho and the adjoint representation. And then C star rho of W is just the homomorphisms from C star of W to the Lie algebra, which are invariant under the action of pi 1. So, for example, if phi is a 0 cochain, to evaluate phi on V1, is the same as to evaluate phi on V naught and then act on that result with L. So that's C star of W, and as I said, its homology groups are the row-twisted cohomology groups of W. So now I can state the first result, and this applies to all graphs. If the second row-twisted cohomology group of the graph exterior is non-zero for one or more representations rho compatible with the thetas, then the observable is ill-defined. And the reason for that, in the definition of the observable, these delta functions, that's just delta of a function f, which is taking a list of all the group variables to a list of all the holonomies. Now, delta of f can only make sense if the derivative of f is surjective. But df is actually the first boundary operator in the cochain complex defining the twisted cohomology groups of the graph exterior. So if h2 is non-zero, then df cannot be surjective, and so delta of f cannot make sense. Okay, so how does that fit with what we saw for the trefoil knot and the figure 8 knot? Well, if you calculate the twisted cohomology of the knot exteriors, you find that for the abelian representations, h2 is 0, and for the non-abelian representations, h2 is non-zero. So that explains what was going wrong at the critical angle. You've got the emergence of representations of pi 1 of the knot exterior, for which the second twisted cohomology group of the knot exterior is non-zero. And now for the second result, and again, this applies to all graphs. If the second twisted cohomology group of the graph exterior is 0 for all representations rho compatible with the thetas, then the observable can be expressed by this formula. So we're integrating over the space of flat connections modulo gauge transformations, a form alpha, which is defined by this equation. And that says if we evaluate alpha on a basis for the first twisted cohomology group of the graph exterior, then we get a constant times Riedermeister distortion of the graph exterior times this product of delta functions, which is just the same as the factor that appeared in the definition of the observable. And it's the presence of that factor which means that the observable is in general a distribution in the thetas. Now, I don't have time to define Riedermeister distortion, but for the purposes of this talk, you just need to know that it's a simple homotopy invariant and a homeomorphism invariant, and that those invariance properties mean that the observable is both regularization and triangulation independent. Now, for a knot, the only representations for which H2 is zero are the abelian ones, where all the generators are equal. So the moduli space has just one parameter, theta, the conjugacy class of the generators. But that's fixed by the delta functions. And so for a knot, the result simplifies and you just get a constant times the Riedermeister torsion. Now, simple homotopy invariance means we can calculate the Riedermeister torsion using the cell complex coming from the Wirtinger presentation of pi 1 of the knot exterior. And if you do that, you end up with this familiar expression, sine squared theta over the Alexander polynomial of the knot squared. So that generalizes to all knots the results we saw earlier for the trefoil and figure 8 knots. And to finish, just a few points about graphs in general. As we noted a couple of transparencies back, the Riedermeister torsion formula for general graphs gives a result which is in general a distribution in the thetas. For a planar graph, H2 is always zero, and so planar graphs are always well defined. The tetrahedron graph is planar, and so it is well defined. And the reason it can be infinite for some choices of the thetas is because it's a distribution. And for non-planar graphs, H2 may be non-zero. And that's really everything I wanted to say.
So it's time for a question.
I still have a really good question.
I'm sorry, I missed all of that.
Is it a service for people that are just together? Some patient that are missing or.
I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that question. I only know the mathematical reason for the divergences.
In your definition of the mastery, it's not the parastal graph that only overlaps.
Each of the trees that you choose touches the graph at exactly one vertex.
And is there something in your development touches more than one vertex?
Yes, there is. It doesn't work if you do it like that.
From what you presented here, so there seems to be that in certain graphs, a certain way that distributes what is between the code and what is time, and sometimes observed you get more well defined available. So, from just your opinion, do you think that there is some way?
I haven't thought about that. That's interesting, but I don't know.
This is a SV2 ensemble, right? If I remember correctly, SV2, you have to choose a factor.
I'm not aware you have to include such a cutoff.
Sure.